educator, Dr. Stephen Ward.
This sound was recorded on November the 26th, 1964, medium wave sequence.
Oh, it's
the
light.
Hello, Rosie.
Oh,
Stephen.
What don't be so surprised.
Oh, dear,
goodness me, anyone think it was a miracle?
No, I don't think that is true.
I'd like to see what it's like.
You know, I saw all sorts of things in front of me.
Oh.
Like a vapory things all over.
Well, there's nothing vapory about me.
No.
And I should hate to give you the vapory.
And I said, oh, I'm sure there's someone very close to me. I felt it.
Well, I'm very close to you. But whether I shall ever be able to succeed in doing anything like materialization, nobody seems terribly keen on it over here, at least not to do with this lot, anyway.
I don't think
Marshall's very keen about it, judging by his reaction. He seems to think we've had a go at this sort of thing before, you know, and that's enough, you know. Anyway, I'm not bothering. I mean, if I can come and speak to him, I'm quite happy, but should there be a possible chance of doing anything else, I'm going to have a go at it. And over here, things are so jolly different, and even, well, quite frankly, I'm so different in so many different ways, I hardly recognize myself when I look back. You know, it seems such a lot has happened in such a short time, and although fundamentally, I suppose, I'm much the same, in other respects, I think I'm very different. I mean, I'm very close to a lot of people. But I have no one person in my life, not anyone in a love sense. Of course, one appreciates and feels more deeply about things and people in particular over here. I feel that so intensely now that I'm in tune, I suppose is the word, any word I can think of, with everybody, with most people. I feel so sort of absolutely in harmony, as any way I can put it.
And they all seem to like you very much.
The only time I ever feel out of harmony, if it is out of harmony at all, is when I come back on Earth.
Oh.
I don't mean to say I'm out of tune or harmony with you or the settings, as you call them, but sometimes when I get sort of mentally sort of in the Earth's vibrations or whatever it is, you know, I'm conscious, shall we say, of people, individuals and things happening. I just don't feel in harmony at all. It all seems to jangle. I find it terribly difficult to tune in, to sort of be in any form of harmony, really.
How different you are.
So different.
Oh, you are, how different you are now to what you were when you first
came. Oh, yes. I could no longer, I mean, it's quite frankly, if I had a new life, if I were to come back and had the same sort of opportunities, or even different ones, and with the same outlook I have now, I would be an entirely different person in certain respects, and certainly I wouldn't go for the set that I'd mixed up with before. That's not being unkind, it's just that they would no longer have any interest to appeal for me. I wouldn't, because I not that I wasn't in some senses a deep thinker, but The trouble with me, old girl, is that I never gave myself any time to think very much. I got into the habit of living perhaps rather on the surface, skimming the surface. I think that I realized within myself that if I allowed myself to think and act too deeply, then, well, I just wouldn't fit in at all. I wouldn't be able to have done some of the things I suppose I did do. But the point is that I realized that there were two sides to me, and, well, I suppose I just let one predominate over the other.
Well, I believe you. So many people have said that you were a wonderful osteopath, and if you were that, you hadn't much time for anything much else. And in any case, you had to have some time in relaxation after hard work.
Yes, that's true, but I realize now, you see, that I certainly didn't know then, but I realize now that I was an unconscious a psychical medium. In other words, I was hypersensitive, and I used to have to force myself sometimes to put on a sort of false front.
Yes.
The only way that I could sort of possibly continue. I mean, I did feel intensely things. I didn't just mean things that pertain to this life, but I mean I felt intensely about people, about their sufferings and about their problems and their troubles, and sometimes I used to have to harden myself, otherwise I'd have been as miserable as anything. I used to force myself sometimes to not become too involved, you know. The funny thing with me is that I realized now that, that I was a sucker, you know. In a sense, I mean, I was always good for a fiver, you know, that sort of thing, and I was always easily sort of persuaded to do things which afterwards sometimes I regretted. A lot of the things that happened to me were not of my own choosing. In fact, I was in some ways rather weak. Still, there you are. What are you doing, old guy? Anyway, I just want you to know that I haven't broken off the link. You know, I mean, it's only this last 2 or 3 weeks that I've been taking it steady and haven't been coming back quite so much.
Well, what do you do when you have a relaxation like that?
Oh, what does one do? One just sort of completely relaxes. That's another interesting thing, that one has the power and the ability here to completely relax. That is, one is able to completely, as it were, how do you put it, empty one's mind in a sense. And yet, of course, that isn't true either, because so much has happened to me that so much of it had to be gone over. I sort of thought things out and tried to make things fit where they didn't fit. I know this sounds daft, but I can't.
No, I know exactly.
Certain things that have happened didn't make sense to me, not as sense from the old material point of view, and I tried to sort of try to be rational about it all, and it's very difficult to be rational in a world like this, because although in a sense it's very rational, in another sense at first it strikes one as being very irrational, because there are so many aspects of life here which are so different, and so many things are expected of one, which at first you don't even realize are expected of you, but you gradually drift into the way of thinking that these things are the right things, and you do them more or less automatically. In other words, you, without even realizing it, I suppose, you assimilate knowledge and experience, and you begin then to change, and it's been most extraordinary to see myself, and already I can see myself as several selves, not as one person. Although in a sense I am one person, I also see different aspects of my nature and my personality and my character, and I see how all the little bits seem to somehow make me. And it's interesting to see the many facets that one has in one's inner consciousness and inner self, isn't it?
Yes, but when you say you see yourself, how do you see yourself?
Well, I suppose in a sense one sees oneself in reflection. I mean, it's like this. It's doing this last, what you term time, 3 or 4 weeks, I've been able to sort of what I suppose you would call relax, that is, completely empty myself for the time being, and then gradually go over things, gradually, bit by bit. And I've been able to assess myself and to be able to see myself. That is, I've been able to see myself at different levels, on different levels. I've been able to see myself as I was when on Earth last, And also my first reactions to coming over here, the people that I met, the things that happened to me, how they affected me. I've been able to see myself in different ways. And also I've been able to catch a glimpse, if any glimpse, of myself in what obviously were previous incarnations.
Okay.
And it's interesting to see how the pattern is formed.
Okay,
are
you talking about
stealing
with your
pants? Well, you see, I suppose, like most people, when I was on Earth, I assumed that that was the only life, and that was the only experience of the life that one had had or would have. And therefore, I suppose the whole idea with the vast majority of people is to get as much out of it as you can and be as happy as you can. But since I've been here, I can see that, in a sense, I don't mean to say that I had to be the sort of person I was, or that I couldn't have been something quite different. Of course, I suppose I could have been. But at the same time, seeing myself in other senses, that is, from other points of view, and above all, seeing myself as I was or had been in previous incarnations, is like having a sort of vision, I suppose is the only way of putting it, of oneself in a past life. And one can see there how, although there were many differences, differences in the way of life, in the circumstances of life, differences in custom, difference in acquaintances and friends, different time in itself in which man probably hadn't advanced in some respects as much as in my last incarnation. In other words, it was interesting to see how an individual grows through experience from birth to grave, and then has a spate of time over here, and then returns and has another existence, and how it's necessary sometimes to make good one's mistakes, and also to meet people again that you've known, and also, especially if perhaps you didn't react properly to that person or persons, or you didn't do what you might have done or should have done, or perhaps in some way you may have affected their life detrimentally to themselves. In other words, you are given opportunities to live an entirely different life under different circumstances, in the hope, of course, that in so doing you will learn and better yourself and gain certain knowledge and experience which obviously one didn't gain or didn't experience in a previous life. I mean, I know that I've had now at least, there must be at least a dozen different incarnations. So far I've only cottoned on properly to two of them.
Mm.
One I know was in ancient Egypt centuries and centuries ago. I also had a Roman incarnation, and also the last incarnation, as far as I can gather, that is previous to the last one, was in Paris, somewhere around about 1790. I know that the French Revolution was at its height, and that I was involved in that. I haven't learned the details yet.
My God, it's back to that house.
Yes, evidently, of course, that's another interesting thing, and obviously one of the reasons why I was brought here, or found my way here, and why we are in a sense linked, because it's pretty obvious that in certain of these incarnations we had been linked together, and that we had been friends in some incarnations, and I believe, although I don't know if this is yet authentic, but I assume and I feel that we have also been related by ties of blood, and I don't quite know exactly the full details, but I do know that we have been closely associated, and that at one time, in one of my incarnations, I was associated with you and the medium and with other friends in ancient Rome and in Pompeii and in places associated with the court of that time of the emperor.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh.
And evidently, I was a bit of a rake, I suppose. That's as near as one can put it. I mean, in a way, I suppose, looking back, I must have been a pretty bad lot.
Well, you're not the only one, because
no,
the media has been
saying. Evidently, I wasn't an evil person or a wicked person as such, but I was born, evidently, under or into circumstances where I was able, as I grew older, to live a life of ease and luxury, and apart from a short period of time when I had to do some soldiering, which I hated, apart from that, I had a pretty good time one way and another, and I was very much associated with the royal court, and also we came on several occasions to southern Italy and to what is now the island of Capri, where the emperor had a summer estate. And I was very much associated with the court, and we visited Pompeii and also Herculaneum and other places in the vicinity. And I was in a high position inasmuch that I had many servants, and I was very much attached to the court, and also I was something of a poet and something of a singer, and I used to entertain the emperor because it was quite common at the court, if a person had ability or talent, that he or she at certain functions would perhaps be called upon to entertain the muse. And I had a witty tongue, I presume. I was witty anyway. I used to make the emperor laugh. I was very much a favourite.
Yeah, what's your name then, do you know?
Apollonius.
Apollonius.
That was my name.
Oh,
and yes. I believe, from what I can gather, that my mother worshipped Apollo, and I was called Apollonius. After the god, because one could never call one's sons or daughters after the gods, in this matter one wouldn't call one, for instance, wouldn't be permitted to call one's child after the god, and so it was a habit in my day, in that day anyway, to call children the first part of the name after the god and add something to it, and that was considered all right, which, I mean, it's very funny when you think about it. And my mother was Juliana.
Oh, yes.
I didn't know if that was quite right, but I think her name was Julia, or Juliana, or Juliana. I'm not quite sure of all this exactly, but I know that, as I said, and also I married, and I had two children, two sons. One died in infancy, was drowned, and the other son, he was a very successful soldier, and he had a great deal to do with the occupation of Britain, I understand, but I don't know the full details of this, but and I know that I know that there was another, after I died, that is, anyway, there was another emperor called Diocletian, and several of my descendants were associated at that time. I had a grandson, I found this out, but there's so much that I'm trying to put into shape, you know, I'm trying to sort of,
yes.
It's all very sketchy, as I told you it would be.
Yes, I know, it's all right, as sketchy as it is, it's very, very interesting, but I think you're being affected by it at the moment. Don't carry on with that.
Yes, as a matter of fact, it's really odd, because I'd like to speak to you. I see myself as I was, and I'm told that when I had this, hold on.
Yes.
When I had this Roman incarnation, I had some impediment in my speech, and the funny thing, I know this sounds crazy, but evidently it wasn't too benign, but it was a source of amusement, and I told you I used to entertain, and it was considered quite a joke, although at the time I didn't take too much notice of it, evidently I just didn't bother about it, but evidently it amused emperor and members of the court to hear me recite and now and again sort of stutter and so on. You see, I know it sounds stupid.
You're doing that now. I think you're living through that now because you're stuttering.
I know, I see myself. I remember my first vision of myself, that is, as a Roman, that is, not in uniform or anything like that, but but in what was obviously a special costume for a special occasion, and I had a vision afterwards of myself in that costume at a large gathering where it was in a large palace on top of a cliff with a big balustrade overlooking the sea from the tessellated pavement, and wearing a, I suppose the nearest I can say is a kind of a lilac colour, not purple, because that was reserved for the emperor, but there was a sort of lilac-y coloured toga with gold held to the wrist by gold bangles and a sort of border design in silver, and also around my neck some silver jewellery. I can't say exactly what it was. I didn't even know that men wore necklaces, but evidently they wore some kind of metal or necklace. Anyway, I did. And I know my hair was all curled very tight to my head, and that it was very much black, blacker than my last incarnation. It was very dark, very black, and tight to the head. Whether it was natural, whether it was artificial, I really haven't a clue. But what was rather strange, and I'd never seen before, as far as I know, in pictures or photographs or whatever it is, you know, of reproductions of ancient Rome, I said, I kind of a skull cap on my head, at least that's what it looked like, and this had a sort of a metal edging or binding to it, and it was very attractive, actually. It was something that I'd never anticipated. I never thought Romans or ancients in that age anyway wore, but even though it was a custom at that time anyway, or it was a fashion, I don't know what. And also, evidently I was very much taller and much slimmer, and my neck was very long and my face was rather different. I didn't look exactly as I do now, and yet I recognized myself. It was most interesting, and I had a very aquiline nose and high forehead and rather a bigish chin. And strange, when I saw all this, I knew it was me, and yet it didn't look like me as I remember myself. And yet I knew immediately it was me. And also, I was attended by, on this sort of vision, I suppose, I was attended by a Negro, presumably slave, who was dressed in a sort of white sort of garment, rather flowing, and a sort of sash around the waist, and some sort of headdress, I suppose it was a sort of turban thing. Anyway, I found out since that this slave, whatever, that's what he was dumb, and anyway, I've been told that I should meet him over here. Well, I haven't met him yet, but only there was a very close tie or link there somewhere, because only he saved my life, and I gave him his freedom, and that he, although he accepted his freedom, he still stayed with me. He didn't leave me, as indeed many slaves would have done. And evidently he nursed me when I was very ill, and also he was with me when I died, which by the way was a natural death, as far as I know. I'm not sure about this, but I assume it was anyway. But evidently I've been linked with you in that age, but I haven't been able to get onto this exactly yet. But evidently you and the medium too were in this picture somewhere, but quite exactly how, I don't really know. But I should probably find out.
Yes, do find out. Ethan, that was interesting, you know, to have to stammer at that time. You're stammering while you're talking.
That's because I'm concentrating, I suppose, on all this, and in some peculiar way, as one concentrates and gets more involved with it, then one becomes more intense about it, and it has some sort of, at least when I'm speaking, I suppose, some sort of effect. It even comes through in the physical sense of speech. But evidently I had this sort of, which wasn't, it was a kind of an impediment, evidently, but it wasn't to that extent all that bad. But but evidently I had, even in those days, an artistic, I must have been a very artistic person even then, because from what I could gather, I was interested in all the arts. I had interest in poetry and in music, and I was very gifted in that way, and I could play the lyre and other instruments of a fashion, and I would sing, and I don't know where this impediment of speech came in the singing or that, whether it affected it, I don't know, but it's all very intriguing. But evidently the medium was somewhere in all this picture too, and so were you, but exactly where or how, I don't know.
You'll find that out.
That will probably come, but yes. It has some connection with Rome, and it has some connection with Pompeii. But I don't think I spent much time at Pompeii, because when I came south for the summer, as the emperor would, sometimes a month on end, we would go to what you call, or what is now called Capri, and where he had a large, great villa, or at least that's where he...
Oh, yes, that's the thing.
Anyway, it's all very intriguing.
See, I've got it all down, you know. Someone called Lucilla had started all this reincarnations.
Yes, well, everything...
And what's the name? Apollonius comes into it.
Oh, I don't know.
Apollonius comes into it. I must look that
well, up. Well, I don't know, dear. All I know is that that is the name that I was given, and that was the name that I was known by, Apollonius.
Oh.
And that as I had two children, one died in infancy, I think was drowned, and the other boy, he, of course, lived beyond me, and he also married and had children. And one of his children, that would be my grandson, came to England during the Roman occupation. But it's all very involved.
What was his name?
I didn't know, but I might find out. Anyway, perhaps we'll get into this more deeply. I'm afraid I have to go.
Oh,
dear. It's getting too much of a strain.
Yeah, all right.
But
all right.
It's been nice coming, and I'm glad tonight I could make it. And now I'm back again, I should hope to be able to come regularly, and we'll resume our chats, and I'll give you all the gin, everything I can possibly get hold of. I'll pour it out to you in the hope that it'll be of some help and interest, and perhaps to other people anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, I must go, old dear.
All right.
I'll see you again
much.
On Monday when you sit.
Yes.
All being well. Bye-bye.
Yes.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, Nick, it's
yes, it's Mama tonight.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye.